Welcome to installment 87 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains six commandments, Prohibition 105, continuing in the laws of a sota, an accused unfaithful wife, that when she brings her meal offering, one is forbidden from placing lovena, or incense, on the offering. Also, we will begin the laws of incest, Prohibition 330, the prohibition of incest with one's mother, 331, with one's stepmother, one's father's wife, 332, with one's sister, 333, with the daughter of one's father's wife, a stepsister, and 334, with one's granddaughter, the daughter of one's son. The first mitzvah of today's portion is prohibition number 105, which is the prohibition abolishing the laws of sota. As we discussed yesterday in the book of Numbers, chapter 5, verse 15, there is the law of a suspected adulteress, that a man suspects his wife of going with another man, and therefore warns her not to go into a concealed place with him. If she ignores his warning and does so, she is a suspected adulteress, and all of the laws discussed in the Torah apply to her, as we discussed yesterday. One of the things that must be done is that a sacrifice, a meal offering, must be brought. This meal offering differs from other meal offerings which were brought in the temple. Other meal offerings were accompanied by oil. Oil was mixed into the flour, and in addition, frankincense, lovena, in order to go and give the offering a pleasant scent, was mixed in. Yesterday we discussed that oil was not allowed to be mixed in to the meal offering of a sota, that since oil indicates light, is a source of light, and this woman walked in darkness, therefore oil is not allowed to be mixed into her offering. Today's prohibition involves a separate prohibition of mixing frankincense into the offering. Many reasons are given. One is that since it's made to bring a pleasant scent into the offering, and this is associated with an unpleasant event, therefore the pleasant scent should not be present in the meal offering. It should be a plain offering. Another explanation is that scent, a good smell, indicates the smell of a Jewish woman, her tznius, her modesty. Since this woman behaved in an immodest way, then her smell, so to speak, is not a nice one, and therefore her sacrifice should not have a good scent. Another explanation given compares the senses, the incense, to the matriarchs, that Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah are compared to Ketores. Their ways were so good, and their deeds were so wonderful, their deeds were compared to the beautiful aromatic spices, the Ketores, which were brought in the temple. In fact, the word Levena is referred to in a verse as referring to the matriarchs. And therefore, since she departed from the ways of her matriarchs, departed from the ways of a Jewish woman, therefore her sacrifice does not contain the Levena. The other five mitzvahs of today's portion involve different laws of incest. They are learned from the books of from the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Verse 7 in the book of Leviticus states that one must not have commit incest with one's mother. This is prohibition number 330. Prohibition 331 is in the next verse. In verse 8, states, do not commit incest with your father's wife. In other words, a stepmother. This differs from the other mitzvah in that a mother means the man's natural mother. His father's wife could be another wife. This would be his stepmother. This woman is also forbidden to him. However, if one commits incest with his mother, he is transgressing on both prohibitions, that since she is his mother, and she is also his father's wife, she is, in that case, coming under both categories of mother and the wife of your father, and therefore he would be transgressing both commandments. However, a stepmother, on the other hand, would only be under the second prohibition of a father's wife. The next prohibition, number 332, is present in verse number 9 in Leviticus, in chapter 18. This is the prohibition of incest with one sister. And the verse states, do not commit incest with your sister, even if she's the daughter of only your father or only your mother, and certainly if she comes from the same father and mother. This is also irrelevant whether she is a legitimate sister, was legitimately born in marriage, or illegitimate. Nevertheless, one must not commit incest with her. Prohibition number 333 comes from verse 11 in the same chapter. This verse states explicitly the prohibition of incest with a half-sister. The verse states, do not commit incest with a daughter that your father's wife has borne to your father. She is your sister, and you must not commit incest with her. Since she is your sister, in the sense that she is the daughter of your father, even though you have different mothers, she is only a half-sister, nevertheless, the incestual prohibition applies. We learn, however, that it is only the daughter of one's father's wife. Let's say one's father went into an illegitimate, illicit relationship with a woman. He raped her or seduced her outside of the marital situation. In that case, the daughter born to such a relationship would not be the daughter of one's father's wife, and therefore she would not even be considered a half-sister. Prohibition 334 is learned from verse 10 in the same chapter. This verse actually contains several prohibitions. Prohibition 334 is the prohibition of incest with a granddaughter, and more specifically, the daughter of one's son, only through the son. It is a separate prohibition having incestual relationships with one's granddaughter from the daughter, or the daughter of one's daughter. There are many explanations behind the reasons for the prohibitions of incest. The Ramban, however, says that it's not something which is inherently or intellectually disgusting, the way a person might think. There's actually a reason why one might want to commit incest. One might think that the natural partner for one person in marriage would be one's relative. They go and they share a natural love for each other, they have a natural loyalty for each other, and perhaps they have a natural affinity and a certain common bond binding them together. And we might think that it would make a natural match. The Torah therefore comes along and specifies each individual relationship to show that each single one of them is prohibited. We will discuss some of the reasons for the incestual prohibitions in the coming days when we will be dealing with other details, and please tune in with us with the following shiurim from the following days. Thank you for calling Sefer HaMitzvos.